The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, and more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and this was the Lord's doing. It is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our Old Testament scripture, there is a beautiful picture of a person the prophet Isaiah calls the Beloved, and that's what our friend Vernon was singing about. And Isaiah tells us that the Beloved owned a vineyard on a fertile land. So he worked hard on it, and he dug the ground and cleared out of its stones, and then he built a tower in the very middle just for protection. So the Beloved cared a great deal about this tree. So he even sang to it. So any of you ever sang to your plant? You have? So apparently it's helpful to do so. I didn't know. So Google to find out as well. You will find a whole lot of interesting things that people were trying to take there were roses, and someone sang to the roses and the other one didn't, and the other ones just happened to be so beautiful than the others. So it's interesting to read about it. Then in the story, after the Beloved had done all that hard work and in the vineyard and caring for the tree, using every possible method to ensure a great harvest, the tree did not produce the fruit that he was expecting. It produced wild grapes instead. What a disappointment. The Beloved was not happy. So in this scenario, the prophet Isaiah is painting a picture of God's message that he was giving to the people of Judah, as if God was telling them, "I expected the best from you. And I know, I cared about you. I love you so much. But what happened to you? I expected justice, but I saw bloodshed. I expected righteousness, but I saw a cry. What happened?" So this message is very relevant to us as well, not only because where we find ourselves in life in usually, but also because of what Jesus said to us in John chapter 15, that he is the true grapevine and his Father in heaven is the gardener. And Jesus added that we are here, are the branches, and have already been pruned And it might not be such a great thing to prune. I brought this for my deductive material. So to prune a plant must not be a very happy thing. So Jesus was saying that we were already pruned and cleaned up by his message. And so that's us here. That's what Jesus said. And that's what Isaiah is telling us, that those who have been separated from the vine cannot produce good fruit, and that's why they produced wild grapes. And so, to us, this message says, without Christ, there is no lasting progress, no fruit from God's kingdom can be observed, because nutrition from the true life has been cut off. This Isaiah story fascinated me. It talks about the beloved. It reminded me of God's unconditional love to us. He cared about us even before we existed. Psalm 139 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life is recorded in your book. Think of that day when you were born. Of course, none of us can remember that day. But just try to think about it when you were born. You were like that plant that God began to take care of and, you know, planted and take good care of it. And what happened, what's amazing, is that God's unconditional love never stopped. He extended to us even when we were gone through our own ways and we're still wandering away in our sinful ways. So all your life, God made sure that there were people in your life, there were occasions in your life that teach you to know God, to guide you to Him. Whether it's been a friend or a family member or maybe some preacher, someone. They have been posted in your life at different times of your life so that you would get to know that God is there. He was caring for you. He was watering, you know, get more of my vine inside. I want to feed you. I want to make sure that you know that the reason why you are where you are at right now is because Jesus has been feeding you from his own. From his own to you directly. And Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that God proves that kind of love when Christ died for us while we were still sinners. You see, that unconditional love is extending there. Maybe some people reject it, but it's there waiting for you. My son, my daughter, I am here for you. And God's message to the people of Judah wanted them to focus on who they are. God wanted them to know who they are in God, because what we do flows out of who we are. If we are not grasped solidly on the vine, we can't produce fruits of the kingdom of God. Let me give you an example. Let me think about a life of a young person. A young person is full of a lot of temptation in your face. There's a lot of things that goes. They have phones right now, right? They have phones. And so there's a lot of temptations that goes in front of them. And it takes a lot of power, astronomical power, for them to leave godly principles so that he or she can refuse categorically certain things in life, whereas everyone else may just come and go for it without even thinking about it. So some people's actions flow well with the kingdom of God. You are, because you belong to the kingdom of God, your actions flows very well with the kingdom of God. And others, maybe not so. Because we are not firmly grafted to the vine. And that's what happened to the what Prophet Isaiah said, wild grapes. The beloved was not happy with the wild grapes. So are we grafted on the vine? Are we grafted on the vine? Jesus wants to nourish you so you can produce good fruit worthy of God. A few days ago, I wrote to a friend of mine reminiscing about days we lived that led to the genocide of 1994 in my soon-to-be former country. We talked about how we saw much ugliness with which people treated each other, and even believers were tempted to join in. They couldn't discern that it was the enemy, Satan, that was planting evil seeds, and of course the entire country experienced hatred and death. People were starting to produce those wild grapes even without knowing it, just a little by little, little by little, and they didn't know that they were producing wild grapes. But our Father in heaven, whom Jesus says is the gardener, grieves deeply when that kind of situation happens because he desires no one to perish. So, beloved brothers and sisters, God is calling us to remain in Christ. We have different opportunities to remain in Christ. Regular readings of Holy Scripture maybe will be your way to be connected. And for others is morning and evening prayer. Regular morning prayer and evening prayer so they stay firm in God. For some families, they choose a particular time to pray. Maybe a favorite prayer that is memorized by the family. In my family, we love to sing the Lord's Prayer before bed. Get grafted firmly on the vine, being Jesus. Amen.